Welcome to Moe's Paisley Penny Arcade. One, two, three, four.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Paisley Penny Arcade. I'm Mo, you are you, and we are we. And the Paisley Penny Arcade is wherever you'd like it to be. Yes, indeed. How are you all? I'm well. Let me take off my watch. Who cares about time? I don't. Do you? Me. Welcome. Come on in. Have a seat. There's a chair right there. There's a hat on it. But my invisible friend does not care. You can have a seat. I made that hat, actually. I knitted it, and then I felted it, and then it put it on, and it itched me terribly. So, but every now and then I wear it. So, welcome. Today is the 27th of August, 2025. 'Tis a Wednesday. That's when I do this live. Now, you may be watching it any day of any year. And that's good for you. And that's a wonderful thing. That's a really wonderful thing. So how are you? How are you? Yeah. I won't get into world news or even local news because it's often terribly sad. Today was some terribly sad news, and I'm going to just... We're not going to... When are we going to have some peace in this world? When are we going to have a cessation to the craziness? But I'm not going to dwell on that. I hope you are all well. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I hope you are all well. And I hope you are all dealing with everything as well as can be expected. Let me lower this just a wee bit. You don't need to see my ceiling. Not that you need to see my ceiling. That's ridiculous as well, but there, that's a little bit too low in there. That's about right. Just a little bit higher, just a little bit higher. Yes, I know. I'm actually not that persnickety. That's not me. I'm not a persnickety guy, as you can probably tell from my surroundings. But who knows? Who knows? What is it all about? So, today... I'm very excited about today. Today is an offering that I think will be a ton of fun. The chat room is open. Anne. Bonjour, Anne, and welcome. Welcome, welcome. If you would like to be in the chat room, those of you listening on the radio, you can come over to YouTube. Because I'm not in the Facebook chat room, the 1-2 Radio chat room. I'm also on 1-2radio.com, by the way, if you'd like to listen without seeing me, which is probably something a lot of you would like to do. You'd probably like to listen to me without seeing me, which I would understand completely. I would understand that completely. So you can go to 1-2radio.com and click on Listen, and I'm just a voice. An animated, just a floating voice. And you can do that. And there is a chat room on Facebook. And of course, 1-2radio.com is connected to 1-2listen, which is run by my buddy, my pal of over 30 years, Mark Husson and John Joseph. And they are wonderful guys. They used to run a brick and mortar store known as the 12th House. And I was a house reader back when my beard was jet black, whatever that means. And my hair was hair, and more of it anyway. And it was jet black as well. So that's just that. What do I mean by, I don't know what that means. But, yeah. And I was going to say I was thinner, but I actually wasn't. About to say maybe bigger. Who knows? Who cares? Underwears. And One Two Listen is a great group of people who do readings. I used to work there. I'm kind of off now, just taking a hiatus. That's right. And I believe the hiatus is right here. It's a bone that when people are strangled, they know what that is. They know that you've had your hiatus broken. Hello, Renee. Welcome to the chat room. And says, not true. On the contrary, Mo, it's even better seeing your beautiful face and especially your smile. You are, wow, Ann, you are just man, fantastic. Yeah, I can feel my cheeks getting red. So, and even on my face. That's a different story. I shouldn't say things like that, because someday my grandsons and my granddaughter and my granddaughters and my, all my grandsons will be watching this and going, ew. Just ew. They know I'm weird. Trust me. They know how weird I am. So, So I hope, welcome. Today's going to be a fun day. I think a very fun day. Because I'm going to talk about taking some of the really ominous, tarot is so, it's so overwhelming. So overwhelming. Tarot can be so incredibly overwhelming, and I really don't think it has to be. It is for everybody. It was for me when I started. The first tarot book I ever had was called The Tarot of the Bohemians by Pappus. Pappus, whose name was Gerard, I believe, and Koss. No, I may have it wrong. But it's a book I still have, and it's down in my other library. I have five bookshelves downstairs. That size. And they're downstairs in my basement. Actually, it's not five. It's one, two, three? I don't know. And then I have all the smaller bookshelves. And I've actually gotten rid of some books. They're not the books I really care about. I like books. Books are important. Maybe it's not true. But he was a Martinist, and he was also a great occultist. And I actually know a fellow who is married to his granddaughter. And that's fascinating because he's an alchemist. And he's right here in my town of the Denver, Colorado, greater metro area. And I know some very reputable people who are very sane who have actually seen him, supposedly now, transmute base metals into gold. And I was kind of like, yeah, okay, that's wonderful, but, so what? I just didn't find any real... I mean, it's cool when you can do things like that, but... And when asked why he didn't, become a millionaire from it, well, first of all, he's a very nice guy, very sane fellow. I use that term a lot, because not being sane, well, it just, it's a word that hits me a little hard sometimes, but he's a gentleman and a lovely man. And the answer generally is because it's not the type of gold that people would recognize. And I thought, well, okay, I'll go with that. What are you going to say? You can't say much to that. But he's a good guy. And I believe him. But anyway, and that people have sworn they saw it happen. And he is not the type of guy who would ever pull a fast one. I know him. He would never pull a fast one. And I just have never had an interest in the whole thing, because I am a symbolic sort of fellow and a hermetic Kabbalist, and that means I just don't, I'm an alchemist when it comes to some other things, but not when it comes to he's known as a puffer. That's what they're generally called, are the actual guys who light little Bunsen burners and puff, 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 that sort of thing. But anyway, this or that, and so on and so forth, right? You get it. Anyway, so that book was thick, and it was deliberately misleading, and at the age of... mean, I got my first Rodek at 10, but my first book at, I think I was 13. And I was able to realize that he was deliberately throwing you off one. And I was immediately jumped into, and it was very difficult. And I was overwhelmed by Emperor and Empress and you know, Death Guard. And Tarota does not have to be like that. It just doesn't have to be that way. It is not that horrific. It doesn't have to be that way. So I'd like to talk about that today. And I'm going to help try and simplify it for you and take away some of the... some of the scary parts that don't have to be. First of all, let's break it down a little bit. We've got Major Arcana, we've got Minor Arcana. They're both really important. The big secret Arcana, right, Arcane, and the minor secret, right? So you can't have one without the other. A lot of people do use just the Major Arcana. There are some decks that are only the Major Arcana or the Minor Arcana. And that's fine. They're usually kind of collector's items, so on and so forth. But, I want to mention, I just bought a Loteria deck, you know, the Mexican Loteria game. And I thought, what a hoot it would be just to buy something that some people use for divination. And it lends itself to that. It's got cards like El Diablo, and it's got La Dama, you know, the woman, the devil, El Baracho, the drunk, you know. So we'll do a show with those cards and we'll come up with ideas. That's where I'm going to need you folks in the chat room. So talk to your friends and say, let's go to Moe's chat room on this day and let's see about, you know, helping him to decide what, because I've seen some people have meanings. There are little rhymes that go along with it. And I'm thinking, why do we have to burden ourselves with other people's ideas of what these cards mean? I'm sure there are specific meanings that people have had, but why don't we come up with our own ideas, our own thing? You know, we're relatively something individuals. You know, why not come up with our own version of what these things should mean? I mean, really, we can do that, can't we? So I'm looking forward to that. I mean, anyone who has a nose flute nearby should be able to come up with an idea or two of what something means. Correctamundo? Correctamundo, yes, yes. So I don't know if that's actual Spanish, but I tried it. Yeah, I don't speak Spanish. I speak, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. As we say, shwaya shwaya, which is Arabic for a little bit, you know, come see, come side. You know, I just pick things up. Watching movies, you know, Peter Lorre imitation, you know, that sort of thing. I'm so sorry. Yeah, if they come get me, it'll be probably merited. Just wait until Halloween comes around. That's when things really begin to buzz. Anyway. So at any rate, today, let's begin with the concept of the Major Arcana cards. Because when you look at the Major Arcana cards, you, specifically us, in this time frame, and now the 21st century, what are we doing? We're looking at these huge concepts. The first card of the deck, numbered 0, mind you. What the heck does that mean? Well, first of all, 0 is not nothing, nil, nada, zip, zilch. It is everything. It's like an egg. So you take everything you've got and you draw a circle around it. And think of it that way. So it's quite literally the ability to have everything. So just hold that thought. Don't try to quantify it or qualify it at this point. So it's just everything there is, you see. So I almost launched into my Jimmy Stewart imitation, which has been, by almost everyone who's heard it, called the worst Jimmy Stewart imitation ever done. But I'm not going to do it now. So you can thank me later. So we talk about something like the Fool, but understand, when Tarot was first created, everyone knew what the Fool was. It was the paradigm of an entertainer who was around, you know, in courts, traveling, Punch and Judy. Now, you see, part of the problem is, in the culture that I live in, which is the American culture, Punch and Judy is not a staple, you see. It's just not. We see Punch and Judy every now and then with the, you know, the professor who puts on the performance, and he uses the little voice thing, the buzzer, you know, Punch and Judy. You shouldn't use a nose flute. That would change things. Kind of like a kazoo, though. You know, that sort of thing. And, yes, he could use the Oscar Mayer weenie whistle, but that would change things drastically. Too drastically. So there he is. And it's a play. It's kind of a very strange play about Punch, and he's murderous and eventually hangs himself. And people have tried to, as a matter of fact, Aleister Crowley once said that he uses this old theory in his book, The Book of Thoth, which is a really marvelous book. And it's not meant to, he really is trying to lead you down a line of occultism, which I followed, including all the red herrings and all the wrong things that he says on purpose. But I read it and I took it all about as seriously as I could. And what he does is he's brilliant. He was brilliant. He was also, you know, he was a heroin addict and an alcoholic at times, and I'm sure many, many other things. And I'm not so sure I would have gotten along with him. He was not a devil worshiper because, quite frankly, he didn't believe in the devil. Let's just say he kind of knew better. He was not a dumb guy. I'm not saying, I don't, you know, let's not get into opinions on this. It's just he, we'll talk some other time about that. But he was not, as they portray him, trust me. He had to be a hustler. He had to make a living. It was not easy being an occultist at his time. He had to, sometimes he had to just kind of barely make a living. It was tough. It was tough. And he was not a traitor to the British crown, I don't believe. And neither did Winston Churchill, or he would have had him hanged. No doubt about it. He might have been a triple agent. Not a double agent, but a triple agent. He was good friends with Ian Fleming. I don't know about good friends, but he knew Ian Fleming, who, of course, was in the OSS. And I've mentioned this before, but Ian Fleming and Aleister Crowley were so common that Fleming used Crowley as the model for Le Chiffre in Casino Royale. That's a fact, because Crowley had that brain for numbers. Numbers, which are important in gematria. Gematria being the numerology of occultism, especially, and that's what this book is about. 777 and other Kabbalistic writings of Aleister Crowley. And this is it's just quite a book. I mean, you can spend lots of time with this book, and it will drive you absolutely out of your mind. Because when you start to understand it, and then you have to just put it away and say, I'm done with this for now. Because it will it'll just rub your brain raw. As you're in the middle of the night, you're putting together words and things, and you're saying, oh, I understand why that is. I understand why that is. I understand why that is. And then you go, that's not why that is. That it really is not that spot why that is. But anyway, so back in the day, 13th, 14th century, when Tarot was created, not as an oracle, mind you, but as a game. And that's the truth. Tarot was created as a game. As a matter of fact, today, Tarot is still played in France and all over the world. Tarok, Taroki, it's a game, like bridge. They take tricks. They still call the cards that are the biggest cards, which are the major arcana, they call them the trompe cards, they call them trumps. That's what they call them, trumps. Like in bridge. They have the trump card. tries to take over all the other cards, you know. I'm just saying, I'll keep politics out of it. So, and in the game of French Tarot, which I happen to enjoy very much, I'm terrible at it. I only play online with the app. And you can find these apps, and you have to kind of figure it out because it's in French. And I took French in junior high school and high school and in college for a little bit. And I'm just terrible at it. But boy, there's something about it. So you know, you do that and you play the game and it's you against the other players, which I think is kind of cool. It's like, okay, I'm going to really, you know, anyway, God almighty. So it's a game. And the problem was, is that the church didn't like people gambling unless they got a cut. And that didn't happen that way. They ended up, and gambling was supposedly a sin. So what these people did is they said, let's create a deck of cards, this deck of cards that we're gambling with, and put religious iconography on it. Now, that was smart. Because by putting religious iconography on it, the church said, oh, these are cards with the saints upon them. For example, the wheel was Saint Catherine, who was broken upon the wheel. Saint Catherine of Alexandria, Egypt, that is. And the tower was Saint Barbara, who was in the blasted tower. She wasn't blasted until her father had her. He cut her head off. But that's a story of the saints. Look up the saints. The hanged man was one of many saints who, during their trials and tribulations, were hung upside down by one leg. And they didn't kill them, of course. It was just like to torture them or to humiliate them. It was also a way just to, you know, it was a bothersome sort of thing. However, the real story there is Odin. The king of the Norse gods, of the Aesir, right? Who was hung upside down. He hanged himself upside down. Why? Because he was despondent. And why was he so despondent? Because we humans kept losing our history. Every generation of human beings that was born had to start all over again. And they were kind of stupid, you know. You don't have a history. You have an oral history, but, you know, oral history is faulty. You know, you play that telephone game, you know, where you start with and by the end of you get to the last person and the story is completely different. So what happened is that Odin was so despondent that he disemboweled himself, and he hung himself by Yggdrasil, you know, the world tree, and he hung himself upside down, and he's hanging upside down for 9 days and nights in agony, looking for a solution so that he can give something to mankind that would benefit them. And he begins to die, and he's hanging over the well of Wyrd, right, this well of the fates. And he's looking into this water and he begins to die, and he's dying and he's dying and he's in agony, and his blood is dripping into the well, and as the blood drips into the well, it forms these little things, these golden little things that are sparkling, and he reaches down and grabs them as he dies, and he pulls them out and he throws them on the ground, and they're the runes. The runes! Isn't that amazing? And he's a god, so he comes back. And when he comes back, he's invented the runes so that then humankind can write. And therefore, there is history. Right? And from then on, only the winners write that history. And they lie through it. But that's a different story completely. And there's the press, and then there's the, you know, and we... You know, the best thing that's written is love. Stories about love. Love letters to each other. That's what's the best. Anyway, so you look at these things and you realize that these images in the major arcana are all about, most of them are religious. Some of the planets, like the sun and the star and the moon, those are out there. They're not a big deal. And the meanings that people put on them, oh my goodness. And the misinformation that's out there is startling and completely annoying. Let me tell you, there's a book written on the Crowley deck that is just, not so good. It's written by a couple of fellows. And they say that the pillars, the blue pillars next to the Empress, are pillars of water. Nah. They're alcohol. Now, the reason for that is complicated and would take me quite a while to talk about, and that's not why I'm here today. But they're not water. That just completely misses the point of the card and the story and who she is, frankly. So I can't tell you how many, or better yet, that the little pink thing on the Crowley deck over the ear, or what, over the head of the alligator, is a rose. I mean, really? Why would an alligator have a rose over its ear? And they say that it's because of this, or it's because of that, or it's because of whatever and whatever. And that has there's never been so wrong. It's just as wrong as wrong could be. And then in other books after these books, other people repeat the fact that it's a rose. And nothing, and it's a pink rose? That is, pink roses have nothing to do with occultism. They just don't. So it's like, oh, no. There's nothing intrinsically wrong with that idea, except for the fact that it just starts this whole other weak chain of knowledge. And knowledge is power. Not that I have a lot of mental power, but that's what it is. Knowledge is power. Power over ignorance. And when you're reading for somebody and you there's a link there and you go, aha, that makes sense. You want to have as much going for you as you can. It happens to be that pink thing over the ear. It happens to be a snail. A very specific sort of snail that hangs out with alligators in the Nile. Yeah. So, later. But the point is that these, when we, there's a lot of conjecture that goes on. And it has to do with gematria. I'll tell you that. There is no gematria for snail. But it's what happens and what it attacks. And it's just all so wonderful. When it comes together, oh, man. It's like fireworks. Ooh, ah. But they're noisier. Yeah. So you need to be able to cut it down to size. And so when you realize what these are, that they are pictures taken from a time when everybody knew not only what they were, but the stories that went behind them. The hermit was Saint Anthony, another Egyptian. See, my ancestors were very popular in the Tarot. Very popular. Yeah, St. Anthony was a hermit. He just decided, I'm sick and tired of this. There's not much godliness here. I'm taking off. And he goes away, and he goes to a cave, and he builds a wall. People build a wall, and they throw food over it. I mean, it's just, so what you can do, if you want to, is you can say, okay, what saint, blah, blah, blah. I mean, you do research. I still maintain that if you it's not that hard. You just say, okay, who is this? The chariot. Is there a chariot in the Bible? Well, yeah, Ezekiel. He saw the chariot in the sky, the wheel within the wheel, and the cherubs and the seraphim, and he saw the ladder that went up to heaven, and blah, 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 blah. You read about that. You think about that. You read what other people thought about that, and you may discard it. It's all gifts. You keep it or you throw it away. It's up to you. But you come up with an idea of what this means. Who is the priestess? The priestess is the entire paradigm of purity and untouched, pristine women. She is the Vestal Virgin, if you will. Virgin. She is the concept of absolute nature, untouched by anything that can damage it. Right? Then you have the Empress. You have the Magus. What is the Magus? You go on and on, but you think to yourself, well, what is all this about? Right? It's about, think of it as in terms of society, and these were the big things that they thought about. You know, so you've got an emperor. Well, he's a king. But the emperor, you think, what is the emperor? Well, the emperor can be what we call a pharaoh, or it can be a king, and that the king or the pharaoh had a direct lineage to deity. Deity. If deity doesn't like that king or pharaoh, well, they have to do away with him. And he knows that. So it's a tenuous sort of job. Damocles, sword over his head. So you look at these and you say, okay, so these people had this, the lovers. Who are the lovers? Well, they could be any lovers. They could be Adam and Eve. They could be Romeo and Juliet. You think of the whole paradigm, but it's actually about alchemy, right? Bringing two things together. You see, at one time, you couldn't talk about sex. You couldn't do it. So they had to do it clandestinely through cards. Even in Crowley's time. Yeah, I said Crowley. I mispronounced it. Even in his time, you couldn't openly talk about such things. Look at his devil card. You seen his devil card? Ooh, scandalous. Look it up on the internet. Put in Crowley's devil card. Kabong. Take a look at it and say, what is that? What is that? What is that? Oh, I see what that is. You'll see what that is, too. It's about ambition and drive. So it's not necessarily, you know, it's Capricorn, for sure. And it's a type of goat that was extinct by the time the Old Kingdom started in Egypt. Old, very old. So you realize that we're talking about primal things. And in Tarot's case, we're talking about things that were kind of just really big deals, you know? So if we look at a certain card, let's say we look at, we talked about the Chariot a little bit. So what you do is you do a little research on these stories, and you say to yourself, what does this mean to me? So you look, let's say you took a Tarot class, and you look at your notes, and you say, okay, but it's still a little foggy. So you go to your religious thing, whatever that religious thing is, and you read the story in that thing, and you get involved with it a little bit. Man, I've read the books, the sacred books. And between you and me, this is why. Because when you realize that our modern cultures are based on these books, and other books, by the way, like Moby Dick, you'd be surprised how much of Moby Dick is in our culture. You know, you go, wow, I didn't know that. Or Paradise Lost? Ooh-wee. It's a great, great book. It's meant to be read out loud, by the way. It's meant to be sung, almost. Wow, Milton was incredible. Whew. Anyway, so when you cut them down to size and realize that at one time these were like saint cards, everyone knew what they were. So when they were playing cards with them, they were really getting away with something. As a matter of fact, there were popes who played the games and gambled on them. Come on, they're just people like us, right? Some more holy than others. I'm not going to, this is not my thing. Not my thing. But historically, and they had fun, and it was enjoyable, and some played probably for, you know, pebbles rather than, you know, money. So the idea is that when we see a card and it's like, oh my God, that is really complicated with a moon, with the towers, and this and that, and ooh, ooh, ooh. Yeah, ooh, ooh, ooh. There's a lot of ooh, ooh, ooh there. Okay. one of the things that the towers represent, I wasn't going to bring this up, but the moon is a very gynecological card. It represents, in one concept, menopause and gynecological problems. The two towers often can come to represent knees. And the waterway, you see? And the river tainted with blood, or the water, do I have to be, you know what I'm saying? And that was a big secret. So there were times when, and because they couldn't be open about these things, because they were secret, even medical people, you know, medical, couldn't say it outright. So it was a very special thing. Quelly, hello, welcome. So it was a very special thing and a very specialized thing. And of course, there were more meanings to it, in that there is only one way to go, and that is forward. You must go this way. There is no choice. That's part of the moon, because the moon doesn't stop and go backwards. And it also represents the waning moon, which was considered a very dangerous time at times. Now, there's lots of reasons for that. We get into magic, which is a fun subject. So, don't be intimidated by the cards. Don't. Pardon me. Decaf tea. Yeah, what are you going to do? I'm such a goof at times. What are you going to do? It's just that people like to make it much more mysterious than it is. We live lives, you know? We live lives. We see things in the moon. We see things in the cards. I think tarot should be simple, which is why I kind of changed my deck around. Here's my Emperor card. Rather than being, it's worn out a little bit. Here's my Emperor. And that's him. He's, as you can see, he's a lighthouse keeper. Standing in front of the lighthouse, looking at night in a fog for survivors or for anybody, because that's what lighthouse keepers did. They wanted to save lives. That was their job. That was their mission. That was their love. That was what they did. They were hard workers, but they were more than what was in them. They felt they had a duty. And it was lonely at the top. That's a fifth order Fresnel lens. The Fresnel lens, Auguste Fresnel, was a genius. Raging, screaming genius. I'm into lighthouses. Anyway. So when you stop and look at the major arcana through those eyes, it begins to change. It's not the same. It's not as intimidating. You realize that these are stories that you can kind of break down and say, okay, this isn't so difficult after all. I just need to maybe look up a story or two here or there. Does that make sense? I think it should. It really isn't about... don't let it beat you up. Tarot isn't easy because it's they're pieces of cardboard, but they do something when we interact with them. They kind of say, okay, and believe me, it's a random thing. I think. I like the Lenormand as well, and that's another one of those oracles that has been heavily influenced with other people's thoughts on what these mean. A key, a house, a fellow on a horse, you know. I mean, we all have a thought of what the messenger means, a guy on a horse. I mean, I grew up watching The Lone Ranger, Hi-Oh Silver. You know, is he a hero? Sometimes. But what is he doing? He's bringing a message, but right next to him is Clover. So you think, oh, so is he hanging out in Clover, and down the road away there's a snake, and can he see the snake in the clover? I mean, these are the thoughts that go through my head. And right next to that is a coffin, and what's going on there? I mean, you know, the birds. And someone says the birds bring bad tidings, and I'm thinking, well, that's ridiculous. Birds are kind of amazing beings. Birds have always been seen. But see, that's my mind, you know. So that's why I'm looking forward to this Loteria deck, because I want to really kind of think about these cards and what do they evoke in my mind. Because the Latin culture, especially south of the border here, the heavily fortified and now, you know, is extremely an extremely old culture. My son-in-law is Latino, and I think his culture, he should be, I think he's very proud of his culture, you know, and I'm very proud of him. He's an incredible artist. And my grandsons, you know, just for the record, all everything's fine. But just remarkable energies from there. Old culture. And I mean, we're talking centuries, millennia old. And some of it is like my culture, my ancient ancestors' culture, very mysterious. And but we all have that. I'm very fascinated with old Druidism. Not so much new, because I don't understand it very much, but I'm a fan of the older. My friend, my old friend from college, he was an old-time Druid. Give me that old-time Druidism. He was a character. Anyway, so I hope you get that. We can discuss more of this sometime, but don't look at a card like... oh, like, you know, the judgment card. What's it called? The Last Judgment, you know, where people are popping out of graves. It looks so ominous. Not that ominous. The death card. My God. You know, the concept is that we all go through the entire deck every day a few times. Something starts, begins, and ends. And people freak out when they see the death card. Well, it's coming at some point for every single one of us. But it's up to us to kind of mitigate that, not freak out. You know, and when you get in a reading for someone, you don't go, you know, some people do, but, you know, in my deck, I used, I'll show you, if I can find it. This is how it always goes, you know, you say, here, let me show you the card, and you spend the next 20 minutes trying to find it. I really changed a lot of things in my deck, because as you use Tarot over the decades, here it is. Here, let's see if you can see what this is. That is Loki disguised as an old woman guiding the hand of Hodur, the blind god, to throw a mistletoe dart to kill his brother, Baldur the Beautiful. Death. Because I love that myth. So the idea, if you know the myth at all, the myth was that Baldur could not be killed. Because Frigga had gotten a vow from every animal, every plant of heaven and earth, not to hurt him. Rocks, nothing would hurt him, but she forgot the mistletoe, and Loki found out. So that's what happened. And so poor Hodur was unable to play this game where everyone was throwing stuff at him. Even Thor threw his hammer, and it did nothing. And so she took and fastened a dart out of mistletoe and gave it to Hother, who was very strong, and said, "Here, let me guide your hand." And he threw this dart. I don't know why I held it so long. Sorry. And it killed Baldur the Beautiful, who was the sun god. Sun god. He was a solar deity. And Fum fell dead. And therefore they had, you know, 6 months of night. It's a beautiful myth. Because it says, basically, you know what? You can't avoid it. Even if you think you can, there's always a loophole. And I think that looking at the life, or the just life, and looking at the world that way is beneficial. You say, okay, when is, and the dart is released. Once it's released, that's it. And for all of us, that dart has been released. It's just a matter of, okay, that's, and I'm fine with it. When it's time, it's time. You know, I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready yet. That's for sure. I got a lot I want to do yet. A lot. But if I don't get to, if it's tonight, so be it. See? This is how you look at these cards. You break them down. And I'm willing to help. If you have questions, you can get a hold of me through these chat rooms or whatever, and we'll talk about these cards. Because I want to make tarot more accessible. I've had a tarot deck since I was 10 years old. And as you can see now, I am a grizzled old man. Yeah. But I love it. I'm glad to be here. I lost a dear friend of mine who I had known for 55 years, met him my first day of high school. He died on February the 3rd of this year, and my heart is broken. Broken. I loved him. Still do love him. But that's life. That's the way it is. So we have to grab it and love it. And give life a big mwah every day. Every morning I wake up, I think, yay, I'm here. I give my puppy a big hug and a big kiss. You know? I do. And I appreciate everyone around me. Every single person. I love life. These cards have taught me that. To love life, to appreciate it absolutely and completely. Now let's talk about the small cards, the minor arcana. Let's talk about the numbered cards. I have a few minutes left. I think I can do this. This is going to be based on the Tree of Life. I'm not going to explain it too much. Oh, thank you, Anne. Yeah. Oh, yeah. My son-in-law is a much better artist than I am. She said, oh, yeah, my son-in-law is a much better artist than I am. He's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Brilliant. He's a tattoo artist. But there's nothing he can't do. Nothing he can't do. He gave me grandsons. I have another grandson. My son gave me a grandson, too. And these kids are geniuses. You know, geniuses. Kind of amazing. They're all my grandchildren are like really smart. I have a 25-year-old granddaughter who is a pediatric oncology nurse. Whew. What a heart. Anyway. And the youngest charge nurse in her hospital. Ever. So, let's talk about the numbered cards. Now, I'm going to give you a little cheat sheet here. All right? Little cheat sheet. Just remember this. I'm not going to explain it now why it is the way it is, but just keep this in, and you can come back and watch this anytime you want, if you want to. Okay? Oh, I forgot to record this. So hopefully... Yes, we will come back and talk. Of course, I will tell you about the Tree of Life. I spent years studying the Tree of Life. We will talk about that. And it'll help you. All the aces are the potential of something. So you pull an ace, don't go, oh, it's coming. It's the potential of something. All right? No promises. Don't promise anything with an ace. It's a potential. Got that? Plain and simple. All the twos, the deuces, they are the purest form of their energy. So the twos are very pure. They're very powerful. So, for example, in the two of wands, we have the purest form of that energy. Now, you have to kind of work on that. What does that mean? For example, in a relationship, the two of wands, dominion, in a relationship, that's pretty good because it means that the two people are in charge together. They're probably very strong, probably not a couple you'll feel real comfortable with all the time as an outsider. If it's reversed, it means it's not balanced and there may be abuse, but we'll talk about that later. But just think, the twos are all the purest form of their energy. Now you get to go home and think, you're probably home. You get to later on say, okay, what does that mean? The purest form of hearts, of cups, what is that? And cups are mainly emotion, that's love. And Aleister Crowley says it's the love of the creator for the created. Right? Of course. What parent doesn't love their child so much? Or what, I love my dog so much? Or you love your whatever so much? Okay? The threes are all energy coming into being, but in transition. So think of it as movement toward creation. They can be pregnancy cards. All right? Think of it that way. Movement towards something. Transition. Pregnancy sometimes. They can be rough in the swords. The three of swords is cruelty. Okay? But you look at the cards, you think. What did Mo say? Movement. Transition. The fours are all the first stability of their suit. The first stability. Got a square. L7. Right? Remember that? I can't do it. Don't worry about it. The first stability of a suit. So, you have the Four of Wands, which is completion. Voomp! It came together. Completion. Right? The Four of Cups. Luxury. Oh, I see. Right. So, you work with that. You look at those cards. You say, this is the completion of suit. Why? You do the thinking. You do the work on that. Think, why is that? Why is that the stability of the suit? Anything that takes away from the stability must be difficult. That's the five. Ruled by Mars on the Tree of Life. The five is the difficulty of the suit. It's a difficulty. You look at the fives, right? Five of Wands, strife. Five of Discs, worry. Look at those. Think about that. The six is the perfection of the suit. Boom. Perfect. That's because it's in the center of the Tree of Life, Tiphereth. But let's not get into that. So it's the perfection of the suit. Perfect. The sun rules that six part. Well, getting ahead. So we look at the six of discs. Success. No, that's the six of wands. Success. Victory is six in the wands. Success is in the discs. Yeah. Six of cups. Pleasure. Ah, may we. Pleasure. What is better than pleasure? And Crowley shows it six cups, each one a flower feeding each cup, nothing overflowing. True pleasure is when everyone is pleased perfectly. Really pleasing themselves. There's something to that. We'll talk about that later sometime. So the idea is that everything is perfect. It's fine. Seven is the emotional loss of perfection. The emotional loss of perfection. Eight is the intellectual loss of perfection. These are the reactions to that. So the eight is the intellectual loss of that perfection. Okay? Emotional in seven, ruled by Venus. Eight, the intellectual reaction. Nine, the return to the middle of the tree of life, and that's the moon rules that. The return to stability, the return. And at 10, all the 10s, and the nines are usually pretty good, except for the swords, which is cruelty. But that's the epitome of sword energy, isn't it? Think about that. And then you get to the 10s, which is all, boom, the falling off the tree, and it's kind of the base of the tree, really, but it's the decay of the suit. It's gotten as heavy as it can get, and it's beginning to actually kind of atrophy, decay. Okay? Think about those. Vegetate on those. Think about that, and you'll begin to make a lot of sense out of Tarot that maybe you've had problems with. And that's my time. Okay? You good? I'm good. So, until next week, because it's that time. Until next week, I wish you peace, and I wish you love. And I will talk to you later. Take care. Bye. Remember to stay in touch. And if you like this, subscribe and thumbs up and ring the bell and jump through the hoop and whatever else they would like you to do. Okay. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade. One, two.